Other signs is lacking empathy, jealousy of other, exaggerating your own achievements, believing that you're unique or special. You take advantage of others for your own gain. You're arrogant, pompous attitude.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine.
Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a four-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know those deep, dark secrets you probably want to take to your grave? Or those lighter or funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing? Join me each week as we take a deep dive into one subject, exploring the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. Get ready for a more focused and revealing journey into the human experience. This is a new chapter of Secret Life, and I am excited for you to come along on the ride. Today, we are talking about dun, 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 narcissism, narcissist. Oh, yes. Man, do I love narcissistic tendencies? Because here's the thing, we all have narcissistic tendencies, but are you a narcissist? Probably not. Majority of the world has narcissistic tendencies. Well, so what are those? What are those tendencies? We can be preoccupied with self, right? We have unrealistic expectations, or sometimes we lack empathy, or we're obsessed with our appearance. Those are some that everybody has, or at some degree, like obsession of self can be a little selfish. But then when you add them all together and then you add on a sense of pride, exaggeration, an ability to accept criticism, that's a huge one, envious of others, jealousy, mood swings, broken and strained relationships, a low self-esteem, needing approval. Like, these are huge signs of a narcissist. And narcissists are all over this world right now. And I think one of the main things I wanted to talk about this with is because I recently, well, I encounter a narcissist a lot. I have narcissistic tendencies myself. I have said this many of times. When you have a sex and love addiction or enjoy toxic relationships, you are usually narcissist or have narcissistic tendencies. So I have no problem saying that. But lately, the work I've been doing with narcissists and codependence is very high. But then on top of it, I've been dealing with a narcissist, a huge narcissist. And I have to tell you, they are next level. I grew up with a narcissist. I know how to deal with them. But when they split and you don't see it at all, at times it can really debilitate you and go, wait a second. I've done all this education. I've been doing this work for 15 plus years. And this person just literally split and compartmentalized their narcissism and this lie that they're saying. So here's where I want us to really look at what causes someone to turn into a narcissist, right? So we look at their past. Let's go to their past. They have a volatile home environment. It's emotionally volatile or it's inconsistent. Their parents don't know how to mirror a healthy relationship. So that's a one thing. And when I look at this person specifically, that was their home environment. Also, they come from a narcissist. Narcissism is a learned personality behavior. It usually trickles down generational. It's a generational trauma behavior that happens. So their dad's a narcissist, the mom's a narcissist, the grandpa's a narcissist, and it usually trickles down. So it's a learned behavior. So it's mirrored to them. And the couple of the people I'm thinking of right now that I've been dealing with, you know, the father was a narcissist on both those occasions. There also is their own brain development. So a lot of people right now, I have them go get brain scans to see if there's addiction, eating disorders, personality disorders, BPD. Go get a brain scan. There's places now you can go get brain scans, and it will show how your brain looks different than the normal healthy brain. And it just really helps you see, oh, my brain is actually functioning differently. And you can do something about it, especially with a personality disorder. You can actually do things, mindfulness, DBT, nervous system work, therapy, talk therapy, all that stuff. So it's not like you just look at the brain and go, fucked, I'm fucked. I'm going to be a narcissist forever. You can actually do things to change your narcissistic tendencies and narcissistic behaviors, because I don't run on my narcissistic tendencies anymore. I don't lack empathy anymore. Here's one of the things I used to do. If I used to hurt people, a part of me, and I'm admitting this freely, would get enjoyment out of it. If I hurt you, I'd be like, ah, I literally would get a little like kick out of it, because internally I was so hurt by people in my past that I was carrying around that hurt. So when I hurt somebody else, it would make me feel like I wasn't alone, or like if I was hurting, at least someone else was hurting too. But now when I hurt someone, like it actually is very uncomfortable for me. And I'm like, oh, the last thing I want to do is hurt somebody. So I don't lack that empathy anymore. Or when I used to see a guy was dating cry because I hurt him, I would want to laugh because, first of all, the vulnerability made me uncomfortable. And narcissists can't handle other people's vulnerability because it disgusts them, because they don't like their own vulnerability. And their own vulnerability disgusts them. So I'd want to laugh. And I don't do that now. I don't want to laugh with, like, say my husband is crying. I don't want to laugh at him. Like, I feel genuine sorrow and sadness. And another thing is, saying I'm sorry. I could never say I was sorry before, all the work I did, you know, 15 years ago. And now I freely say I'm sorry and I apologize when I am wrong, and I have no problem doing that. And all those behaviors I have actually changed. So you can do the work. So if you do a brain scan, it's not like you're doomed forever in this personality disorder. You just have to do the work and the trauma work and the nervous system work to get out of those patterns. And you can actually heal your brain. So a main one is childhood trauma, working on childhood trauma, going to therapy, doing EMDR work, doing body work is huge, doing rage room and all of that's huge. Also experiencing abuse, physical abuse, right? Sexual abuse, that kind of thing really shapes a narcissist. And genetics, sometimes it's just in your DNA, right? It's just how the brain is wired, and there's nothing that you can do. So those are the causes of a narcissist. And other signs is lacking empathy, jealousy of other, exaggerating your own achievements, believing that you're unique or special. You take advantage of others for your own gain. You're arrogant. You have a pompous attitude. You discount other people's opinions or needs. You project your own imperfections on other people. So that's like something I see a lot. If people I work with are feeling their own imperfections, they actually project them on somebody else and saying, oh, you're this way, but internally it's them. You blame others for things going wrong instead of blaming yourself. And you challenge reality, you gaslight others, and you attempt to isolate others. Those are signs of a narcissist and what they do to other people. And the situation I'm talking about, I can't even tell you. Isolating, this person tried to isolate me from other people. This person tried to challenge the reality, gaslighting what other people said, try to blame when things went wrong, monitoring friends, projecting their imperfections on you. I mean, I can't even go through the list. And this was like a coworker. And I would be like, what is going on? And when it comes down to it, it's like this person lives in an alternate reality in their world. And there's sometimes nothing you can do to break it. So this is why I wanted to talk about this mainly today. There are phrases that I have been teaching people how to deal with a narcissist. Okay. These are phrases that have really, really helped when I'm dealing with a narcissist, when I'm working with a narcissist, when I am working behind the scenes with a narcissist, or helping codependents work with narcissists in their family. One of the main things, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. I'm not going to argue. This is the number one thing. If you give them nothing to argue with, they can't actually argue with you. I am capable of doing what I want regardless of what you think. So you're telling them, I don't care what you think. I'm going to do what I want. So you're not basing your pattern, behavior, what you're doing on what they think. And you're telling them, I'm okay with you disapproving of what I'm doing, but I'm going to do it anyways. Another thing that disarms a narcissist. I understand. Another one they hate, but it always works. Well, we can agree to disagree. Because when you blatantly just say, I'm not going to go any further, there's nowhere for them to go. I see where you're coming from. Well, I want to share how I feel. So when you say, I see where you're coming from, you're accepting their feelings. And then you get to say, I want to share how I feel, because you're allowed feelings as well. You can also say something, which sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. Your perspective is interesting. Now, sometimes that can go one way or another, because they can take that as a little condescending. It depends on how you say it and the tone you say it. Lastly, we can aim to respect each other in our conversations. You can have your opinion and I can have mine. And both of those can be true. I love that because it's a way to disarm saying, I can respect your opinion, but you need to respect mine as well. So you're actually trying to help them see you as an equal, because sometimes they don't want to see you as an equal. And saying that, you're actually taking a stance and a boundary that I am your equal and you need to respect me just like I'm respecting you. So the best thing I love to say is, how can you tell if someone is willing to change if they are a narcissist? First of all, you can't make anyone change. I can't make someone I work with change if they're not going to see their side or see if they need to work on themselves. We can't make anyone in this world change. So I want to make that very clear. Whenever I work with couples or do anything, or even work with somebody, if they don't want to change, there is nothing you can do or say to help someone change. But there are signs to see if they're open to change. If someone can take accountability immediately, or say, start taking accountability, or say, wow, I'm really don't know why I said that, or I don't know why I just did that, or I, not even if the words I'm sorry comes out of their mouth, but just taking a slight accountability for what just occurred. That is a sign of they're open to change. Listening to your feedback, not arguing immediately, that there's a pause, that they're listening, they're willing to hear you. They pay attention to you and others. They start taking more interest in you. What are you doing? Asking questions about what's going on in your life. Because most times narcissists that want to stay in their narcissism will not care what's going on in your world whatsoever. But you have to be careful, because they could be manipulating you and love bombing you. So that's a really one you have to be careful with. Are they trying to manipulate me? Did they just get in an argument with me and I held a boundary and now they're trying to ask me what's going on with me to then love bomb me? So that's a one you have to be tricky about. They show better emotional regulation skills. This is a huge one. Most narcissists don't know how to regulate their emotions. So they either emotionally dump on you want you to fix them if they're in a bad place. If a situation is happening, they want you to literally fix it for them. So they're almost like a toddler, like fix it, fix it, fix it. And if you can't fix it, then they blame you. Or they just blow up at the smallest little thing because they can't emotionally regulate, kind of like a toddler as well. So I call like narcissists little toddlers. So one thing I love to do is if they start to emotionally regulate, giving them those DBT skills, mindful skills, those things, if they can start doing those teeny little things where I'm like, sit on your hands and pause and don't text. And if they can do that, those are signs that they're willing to change. Or if they're about to say something, but don't say it, I say, write it down and don't actually say anything. Don't text, just write it on a piece of paper. Or having them walk away instead of saying what's out of their mouth. Or talking them through, why do you always have to say that last thing to try to, AKA, win a conversation? Are you actually winning? Are you trying to hurt the other person? And why are you getting enjoyment from hurting the other person, having the last word? And the other one. They automatically apologizing when slipping into old behaviors. This is one that I knew I was willing to change because I would apologize when I caught myself doing those old things that I no longer wanted to do. So for instance, if I made a little like comment or something wasn't good enough, or I had unrealistic expectations of my husband or other people, I would automatically go, oh my God, I'm sorry. I did not mean to say that. I will be better next time. I'm really trying to change this behavior. So I found myself catching myself as soon as I did the behavior or the old pattern that I used to do. And there's a consistency. If they're consistently doing it, consistently showing that they're trying to change. And that has to happen for a long time, because a lot of times a narcissist will do 24 hours of change or 48 hours, but they can't hold anything longer than that. That's called love bombing. So be very careful. If they automatically turn into this perfect partner for 48 hours, that doesn't mean they're changing, because no actually work has been done. That's just them putting on that facade mask to make you get reattached to them. Friends with friends, lovers, or family members. All the narcissists I've dealt with have done that, where they're like, I'm sorry, you mean so much to me. That won't happen again. I love you, I love you. And they'll flow you that for 48, 24, 36 hours. But the problem is that they can't withstand that perfect facade. And then usually they shut down or they start isolating and they go into that where then it becomes all about them again and what you give them and fill them with. So don't get tricked by that. This is where they have to consistently do these things for weeks and months, and that it keeps happening over 6 months. That shows an actual change of behavior. With our brains, we have to do something for at least 90 days to change our behavior in our brain. So don't get tricked by the narcissist's manipulation. Okay. And the last thing, since I have had narcissistic tendencies, I am not a narcissist at all, but I have had tendencies. Here are some of the things how not to be a narcissist. You accept that others are not perfect and you are not perfect. That is the first thing. You are not perfect. Remind yourself of your worth, because below any narcissist is a low self-worth. They think they come off as they know or they're amazing, but underneath they have a low self-worth. So if you have narcissistic tendencies and you make everything about you, underneath that is you actually have a low self-worth. So I like to remind myself at the beginning, 15 years ago, like, I am worthy. I am okay. And I would do things to work on that worth internally, that I was worthy. I would not surround myself with these people that were all facade and all like attention seeking. Forgive myself for my mistakes. So that is one thing. A narcissist is really hard on themselves. They're perfectionists usually. And then they're hard on others. So forgive yourself when you mess up. Allow yourself to feel emotions. Most narcissists do not feel. They do not allow themselves to feel. Feelings overwhelm them. They don't know how to have them. So now I can allow myself to sit in feelings, allow myself to be sad, allow myself to feel. That is a huge thing. Be uncomfortable. Allow to be uncomfortable in feelings. Identify your triggers so you know you can see your rage. Because underneath narcissism is rage, and underneath rage is sadness. So we turn it usually into rage, and we want to hurt other people. So identify those triggers, write them down. When someone says this, I get triggered. That's something to look at. Practice self-love. Practice compassion for yourself. Journal. Have a gratitude list. I know that sounds hoity, but it's true. When you journal, you go subconsciously deeper within yourself. Practice stress management, do puzzles, meditation, active meditation, go on walks, try to de-stress your life. If people are in your life causing drama, get them out of your life. And just take one thing a day at a time, a day at a time. Today, you know, I say to myself, if I'm stressed today, I'm turning into like selfishness or not being patient with others, being hard on myself, feeling low self-worth. Okay, that's just for today. That's not tomorrow. That's just in this moment, not for today. Not for the whole day, just in this moment. Okay, in the next 10 minutes, can I try to go feel a feeling? Can I use one of my tools? Can I not go back to old behaviors? That's one thing I used to do. And lastly, connection. Connection to others gets us out of narcissistic tendencies, can get you out of narcissism and new hobbies, trying new things. Because then when you try new things, you are willing to fail, and that gets you out of perfectionism. And connection to others gets us out of self. So that is how you help your narcissistic tendencies, your selfishness, your perfectionism. And hopefully, because narcissism is a personality disorder, you actually can use tools to get out of it. So you're not stuck in the narcissism. A narcissist loves to think they will forever be a narcissist because it excuses their behavior to themselves. But anybody that wants to stay a narcissist chooses to stay a narcissist. So if you are with someone, friends with someone, have a family member that is a narcissist, and they decide this is who I am, take it or leave it, this is who I'm not changing, all those things people say, they are choosing to be that way. So then it's your choice if you want to stay with them or not. So really, it's up to you. Thank you for listening to Secret Life Podcast. Let me know your thoughts on the subject, or you have a topic you want me to discuss next week. Please send it to secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.